The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. Then they went on from there and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what Jesus was saying, and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum. And when Jesus was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But the disciples were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. Jesus sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then Jesus took a little child and put it among them, and taking it into his arms, Jesus said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May the congregation please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We live in a world that, according to UNICEF, 20% of our about 6.5 billion population exists on less than $1 a day. We live in a world that 20% of our population in this fiscal year will spend over $15 billion on weight loss. We live in a world that 20% of our population will spend over $25 billion this year on cosmetics. We live in a world that we will take over $500 million of public funds to build a stadium for professional athletes and multi-millionaire rock and roll stars so they can ply their trade and increase their wealth. We will divert money from schools and infrastructure and sewers and roads and community safety so that those that we idolize and those that we cheer can take our money. How do we reconcile ourselves to this world? Where the poor, thanks to inflation, seemingly become more and more poor. Today's dollar will not go as far as tomorrow's dollar. How do we reconcile ourselves to that world? For we are in the top 20%. We are the ones that have money to burn. We are the ones that buy storage units for all our stuff when it overflows from our homes. We are the ones that have more cars than we have garage space. This is our world. It is the world in which we live. It is a world that we are told it's good to have things. It's good to acquire things. It's good to want things. It's good to work hard and purchase things. This is the wisdom of our world. But according to the Apostle James in today's reading, is this the wisdom of God? As we often see in the Bible, we have this war, this conflict, this contrast between God and the world, between light and darkness, between good and between evil. Our question as Christians is to sift through it and see where we stand. Where do we find our lives? In the darkness, in the world, or in the light of God? How are we doing what St. Paul says in our own lives, calling evil good and good evil? We are moving forward. We are moving forward towards something. The world has told us the wisdom that we should work to increase in our own lives. The wisdom of prosperity. The wisdom of human achievement. The wisdom of the Academy Awards, the wisdom of Grey Cup rings, the wisdom of Olympic gold medals, the wisdom that tells us you can be better than the person beside you, the wisdom that tells us we will reward you when you outpace others, whether financially or mentally or by the things we accumulate, we know the world will reward us. Where do we stand in the grand scheme of life? Who are our people of distinction? Who receives letters of commendation? Who gets plaques and dinners and galas? The servants of our world? No. Those who sacrifice? No. They do not fill the covers of our magazines, the pages of our newspapers, our television shows, and they are most often the victims in our evening newscasts. The world has made it clear to us. Those who succeed are good. Those who succeed in business, those who succeed in vanity, those who succeed in life are good. They are to be modeled after. They are to be commended. They are to be put on a pedestal and looked at and hoped for. These are the rich, these are the famous, and these are the influential. You know who we don't hear about? Is that 20% trying to live on a dollar a day. We don't hear about the woman trying to raise her family without access to clean drinking water, to education, to safety, and to basic medical health. We don't hear about those people. We don't throw them galas. We don't give them gold medals. They have no prestige, they have no standing in government, and they don't really seem to change the tide of world discourse. They are faithless, and they are nameless, and they often live far away from us. Who fills our thoughts and our discussions and our dreams and our hopes? Who do our children want to be like? The successful, the affluent, the beautiful. The wisdom of the world has overtaken us. We are so quickly learning to call the evil good and the good evil that we can't even recognize the difference anymore. That we do not know when enough is enough. That we do not realize possessions equal more possessions and more responsibility. And we feel like we're left with a spiritual deficit. Where is the happiness we've been promised? We find ourselves in our prayers asking not for others, asking not for the world, but asking for ourselves that we could have more things. God, make this new blank possible. God, help me to achieve this. And James says, when we come up short, when we come up disappointed, the problem is not God, the problem is us. That we have set our mind on human things. That we have put our hopes and our dreams and our passions on the stuff of the world. The stuff that will not save us. The stuff that did not die for us. And the stuff that promises us nothing. But a past due notice in 30 days. It's a spiritual vacuum that affects our society. Constantly, we find ourselves feeling that I am in competition with you. I'm in competition with you for that health. I'm in competition with you for that job. I'm in competition for you with that raise. I'm in competition with you for the next Tickle Me Elmo. The list can go on and on and on. No longer is a neighbor a partner in my community. No longer is a neighbor someone I can count on for help. No longer is a neighbor part of a larger support system. But a neighbor becomes a competitor in this game of life. What are they possessing? What have they remodeled? What have they bought new? Where are they vacationing? How are they living? What do they look like? And we judge them against ourselves. And we feel inadequate. We feel less than. Because we are letting the wisdom of the world define our lives, define our success. We are trying to find success in the things that we possess. We try to find success in the things people say about us rather than finding success in who has claimed us And that is God. That's the wisdom of God. That's the pure and perfect knowledge that James talks about. That we've been freed from all the stress and anguish and despair and worry and self-doubt. But we allow the world to throw us back into the chains of that sinfulness. Because it seems to be the only way to get ahead. It seems to be the only way to be happy. In fact, we even deride people who try to live the godly life. If we call someone a follower, we are making a statement about them. If we call someone a leader, we are making a statement about them. But consider our call as Christians to be followers. To be followers of the one true leader, and that is Jesus Christ our Lord. To follow Him into the 20% of the world that lives on a dollar a day. To follow Him into the world of politics that He challenged. To follow Him into the world of need. To confront the greed and the consumerism. To take all those things and follow Christ to the cross and see them hang there. For if Jesus hangs on the cross, the world is crucified with Him. The best and the brightest and the richest and the most influential all put Christ on the cross. And none of those things rose on the third day. But one, Jesus Christ. A man of no money, a man of no prestige, a man of no standing, a man of no family name. He is what rose on the third day. The best and brightest and most powerful and the richest in the world could not keep Him down. And they've been trying for 2,000 years, and we are here today as a testament against them. Saying, you cannot keep us down. The gift of the gospel is true freedom from sin. It's true, as St. Paul says, freedom from slavery. But we are so quick to throw ourselves back into the chains of slavery, of revolving debt, the slavery of consumerism, the slavery of competition, where I simply look at my life in competition to yours. You quickly become the enemy, the competitor, someone I have to one-up with knowledge or promotions or finance or the size of my house or the quality of my vacation, or the beauty of my wife. But all we find at the end is a deficit. A deficit of love. A deficit of faithfulness. A deficit of hope. A deficit of finances. We're left not feeling happy. We're left not feeling hopeful. We're left not feeling joy-filled. We're left wondering, what should we do next? We are never satisfied. The mission is never complete. We always feel we need to be moving forward to accomplish something, but what, we don't know. But the wisdom of God that James speaks of talks about something else. It talks about peace, love, and hope. Things echoed by St. Paul. Things that we'll never experience as long as we feel that our day is unfinished. As long as we go to bed at night wanting more for ourselves, as long as we go to bed at night despising our neighbor's success, as long as we go to bed at night feeling inferior to the achievement of someone else, we will never have love, we will never have hope, we will never have joy, and we will never have peace. We'll be empty, possibly angry, maybe bitter. But if we recognize that in Christ we have been given everything we need sufficiently, we can put our head on the pillow knowing the race has been won, knowing that our lives have purpose, knowing that our mistakes will be taken by God, corrected, and multiplied and used for good. We know that we are part of a larger system, that I am not in competition with you, but that I am running a race with you. that we are on the same team, we are working for the same goals, we are working to enrich the kingdom of God, we are working to better the lives of others, and your success is my success. Your joy is my joy, for we are a family together in the body of Christ. The wisdom of the world is a loud message. It's a message that fills our magazines and our airwaves and our discussions. It's a message that can permeate us. It's a message that sells us the same things that God does. Happiness, joy, peace, understanding. But it's a false prophet. It's a prophet that says, tomorrow will be better. Tomorrow will be better. Tomorrow will be better. Do this and things will be better. Buy this and things will be better. And we keep running and running on the hamster wheel and things never seem to get better. The problem still persists. The bills just keep rolling in. That's all that changes. But the gospel of wisdom, the gospel of our Lord says things are better. Not because of what you've done. Not because of what I've asked you to obtain. Not because of what you are able to accomplish. But things are better because of me, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have hope for the future because your future is not dependent on you and your good works. And for me, that's a big difference. Because I fail every day. I fail to say the right thing. I fail to do the right thing. I fail to choose the good over evil, you name it. But I know God is with me. And I know that God can work through my bad choices. I know God can multiply my good choices. And I know ultimately God is carrying me somewhere towards the future. A future that I'm not responsible for. A future that doesn't hang on my back. A future that we will glory in together. You are not my competitor. My life should not be in tension with your life. I should not judge my success by your failure. You should not judge your wealth by my poverty. You should not judge your happiness by my sadness. And if we can get past all that, if we can see ourselves bound together by the wisdom of God, gifted by the Holy Spirit, sent on a mission, not as individuals, but as the family of Christ, there is no stopping us. Amen.